On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot. Rebound. Score.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Give us a follow on the Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, tallcanaudio.com for the archives. We're not going to waste any time. Yesterday afternoon, the Ottawa Senators trade Francis Perron and Erik Karlsson to the San Jose Sharks for middle six forward Chris Tierney, depth defenseman Dylan DeMello,
exactly.
Prospects Josh
Norris.
Norris, that's right. There will be no more tourists in Ottawa. Josh Norris, Rudolph's Balsers.
Thank you.
Balsers.
You have Balsers. Yes, good job.
Good Latvian boy.
Yep.
And, okay, some conditional picks and some real-life picks that we can kind of get into.
A first-round pick, which they say in 19 or 20, but they don't have a 19 pick, which I think has gone to Buffalo.
Right.
Unless it doesn't, right? I think that's maybe the condition.
I think if they miss the playoffs.
Okay, they ain't missing the playoffs.
Right. If they miss the playoffs, but they get to keep that pick back from Buffalo, but Ottawa gets to take it.
Right. And it's not lottery protected. And then there's a second in 2020.
But if then they have,
if they have to give that 19 pick to Buffalo, Ottawa gets their 2020 first and second.
Right. Further to that, if Karlsson re-signs, they get another second, which becomes a first if they make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
In 19.
And there is also another first-round pick due before 2022. Should they flip Karlsson back to the East? So, that broke around 2:30 yesterday, I guess, 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And within an hour, I had an email from our friend Kyle in Boston. Tell me you're podcasting tonight. We had a tweet saying, oh my God, how's Rob? And we had another message that came into the Facebook page that said, I'm betting it will be something harsher than a tall can when you guys get to this. So everyone was waiting to hear your reaction. The floor is yours.
Anybody, if you've ever been kicked in the balls, that's a lot what this feels like. And still today, 24 hours and more later, I find myself doing... You have this pent-up breath. Like,
right.
It's a gut punch. It's an absolute gut punch. People think most of the fringe, you know, little kids, old ladies, right? They're like, oh my God, they traded Erik Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. anybody from middle of the road fans to your hardcores knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's been inevitable. So to me, yeah, you're just waiting. Okay, what's going to happen, right? You have all these ideas, naive mofos we are. Yeah, you got to have Heiskanen. Heiskanen has to come back from Dallas. You got to have this. You got to have that. We need Sergachev from Dallas, from Tampa. You need all these things. You're like, and then you see this.
Right.
And I think the very fact that I'm hearing the trade announcement and I'm going through it, I'm like, there's no Hurdle. There's no Timo Meier. There's not even Ryan Merkley. Like, there's not even,
yep,
as you work your way down, you're like, you've got, to me, this comes down to, this trade really is Josh Norris, a first and a second. That's really what we're looking at.
Right.
You have a couple of, as you've said, actual NHL players in Tierney and, right, and DeMello.
Somebody that can play on this roster this year, but they're not making a difference for you down.
So what I had to, like, honestly, and I've heard of Chris Tierney.
Yeah.
But I don't catch a lot of Sharks games outside of the playoffs, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I'm feverishly working over Hockey DB and Googling these people. I'm like, who are these people? Now, I have a brief knowledge of Josh Norris from his World Junior time. Right? This is probably it's the extent of my knowledge of him. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is fucking tragic. This to me is, and this is not an original take, because there's been so much talk here in Ottawa. This is, if you presented this to me, this is a trade where you go, yeah, we're getting this shit back because we've included Bobby Ryan's contract.
Right.
That's what this is, right? You've given us this quantity of mediocre pieces.
Instead of giving us your top prospect, you're giving us some stuff because you've also been forced to pay Bobby Ryan.
Take on Bobby's $30 million in future contracts.
Right.
No, not the case. Right? And so, it's, to me, I am just, yeah, blown away, right? Blown away by it.
Yeah. You've said a few things here that are interesting to me. I think when you trade, forget your own best player, or your own captain, a guy who's widely regarded as no worse than the third best defenseman in the league. I think most people would say better than that. But
best offensive defenseman, sure, hands down.
Okay. You shouldn't at any point then be Googling the return.
Yep.
You need to know that guy.
There needs to be at least a little sizzle,
yeah,
coming back.
And something where you go, oh, fuck, yeah.
Like, so in a worst case, worst case for San Jose, best case for us, right, you start packing in some of those conditional picks.
Yeah.
Which can't really, you can't have them both, because if they make the cup final this year, well, it seems unlikely that they're flipping him this,
sure,
year. And vice versa.
Don't you think that last one, just before you care, that's a face saver. They have Doug Wilson.
The Eastern Conference flip?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's because Dorian's already had, yeah,
Doug all the Wilson's points, already eaten his lunch on that.
Well, I was going to say taking all the points off his star, sure, right, in the Hoffman flip.
Right. So for people who don't recall, the Sens trade Hoffman to San Jose.
They didn't, and a fifth.
They didn't want to trade him to Florida because that's in division and he'd come in and score a couple on you and whatever. Doug Wilson then turns around and flips him to Florida, just kind of, you know, as a...
For three picks.
Yeah. Does all right. So this
Dale Tallon says later, he's like, yeah, Ottawa wouldn't take picks from us.
Right.
Yet you're in a rebuild.
So they're... Throwing that condition on, it's never going to happen. Doug Wilson is not acquiring Erik Karlsson to flip him. He wants him there, but he gets to, it's a bit of a saving face move to go, yeah, see, you won't do that to us again. All right. No one thought he was going to, but
yeah,
if that makes you feel better.
Yeah. And whether Karlsson is a straight up rental for them, right? Because he's got the 1 year.
Yep.
Right. And he hasn't at this point signed an extension.
Well, they only had to pay a rental price.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
For sure they did. And so, yeah, they're not missing the playoffs. So
no.
Therefore, they're not flipping him back anywhere else. So It's just, it's one of those stupid things you do.
Right. Man, this is a, as you've kind of referenced, you know, whether or not you should have to Google what's coming back, these sorts of things. According to, and you know, I'm a big fan of The Athletic, their head guy in terms of ranking prospects and rookies across the league, his name's Corey Pronman, does a great job. He has this, well, first of all, he has the Sharks as the 17th best farm system.
Yep.
And he has these two guys as their third and fourth best prospects.
Behind Meyer and Merkley?
Behind, I don't know whether he still counts Meyer because he played a full season last year, but behind Merkley certainly. And I believe there was actually a defenseman who... And now that these guys are, and we're talking about Josh Norris and we're talking about Rudolph's Balzers. They are now Ottawa's seventh and eighth best prospects, according to this particular guy.
Yeah.
So you didn't even bring in a guy who cracks your own top five prospects. Now, Ottawa has some good prospects, right, in terms of Colin White, in terms of Logan Brown.
Fulminton, Batherson, Kachuk.
Brady Kachuk. So Ottawa at the moment has some pretty good prospects. But again, for what you're trading away, I know we're talking prospects right now. Me personally, if Doug Wilson isn't at least giving me Timo Meier, don't ever phone me again.
Right.
That's the start. With what I'm giving you, you will give me Timo Meier or don't phone me.
Yeah, to me, this is we talked about
Darren. Ottawa's talking on sports radio. They're talking an awful lot about Hurdle, and I get that. He's a good player. But I want to go younger because I'm rebuilding.
Well, and I didn't want Hurdle because when they first announced San Jose, and I'm like, don't give me Thomas Hurdle. I don't want Thomas Hurdle.
But I'm super interested in Timo Meier.
Okay, but now I'm saying you couldn't even give me Thomas Hurdle.
Sure, yeah.
Like honestly, and that was about a 20-minute split.
Right,
right. You're like, are you fucking kidding me?
You couldn't get my worst case scenario.
Well, this is it, right?
Up to that.
And as I said, you look back on all the things I've said on this show and I've said to other people, and you go, "Oh, isn't that cute? Look at you,
right?
You naive douche." And there's so many things, and there's so many, you know, parallel thoughts in my head right now, right? I'm listening to Jamie Baker,
yep,
former Ottawa senator, who's now does color, I believe, on TV or radio. I'm not sure, for the Sharks. They had him on yesterday, and he's breaking it down as much as he can break it down. It was a short hit.
Yeah.
But he's saying, yeah, Chris Tierney, you know, 40 points last year, played all 82, filled in admirably when Joe Thornton was out as a second-line center.
I think he's about 24, 25.
Yeah, former London Knight.
Yeah.
He said he is going to be a third-line center.
Right.
Right, that's what he is. He's going to be serviceable, good speed, all those sorts of things. Dylan DeMello, he said he's a 6'7 defenseman. That's what he said.
Right.
He's a 6 or a 7 depth, yeah, defenseman.
Not a 6'7" defenseman.
Yeah, no, six or seven. Yeah. Back of the lineup. And he goes, and the best thing he could say about DeMello was, yeah, if he plays 15 minutes a night, and at the end of the night you go, I never heard his name.
Right.
That's a good night for Dylan DeMello. And you're like, oof, that's glowing praise. Right? That's what you have to say. And he's like, Rudolph's Balzers. He's saying, yeah, this is a kid who had, I think, 80 points in his one season in Kamloops. Led the San Jose Barracuda
in the AHL.
As a rookie in scoring last year.
Yeah.
Good speed, offensive touch, but he's saying, yeah, he's got that European, he's good puck possession guy. Not so good when rushed or in tight. We're not sure how his game is going to translate to the NHL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all those stats are good. And this is a San Jose guy,
yeah,
who sees this stuff. This is his take on it. And he's like, Josh Norris, yeah, he's still a college kid. We don't know what he's going to happen there. So he's not even talking glowingly about him. Craig Button said, yeah, he's a third-line center.
Norris.
Yeah, Norris.
Okay.
So we already had Guy Boucher saying, yeah, Colin White, smart hockey guy. Good skill, good speed. He's not going to ever be a huge scorer in the NHL. He's probably going to be a third line center. Well, yep. I'm like, holy fuck.
Because you also got third line center Chris Tierney.
And we also have third line center J.G. Pageau. Oh, wait.
Right.
No, we don't, because so he fucking blew his Achilles out and he's gone. But that's a guy who's
For those
playing,
who haven't heard, third line center this year was already going to be asked to play above his head at second line center. First day of camp, doing his workouts, blows his ankle apart or his Achilles apart.
Yeah,
gone
tore,
6 months.
Tore his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, 6 months. He's gone. So all these third line centers, one of them is going to play second line center.
And so you can bring in these draft picks.
Yeah.
You can bring in the guaranteed first and second, maybe first.
Right.
Right? I like San Jose's chances in the West, and really they become my rooting interest out there.
Sure.
But the reality is, so let's just say best case scenario, we get two firsts out of this.
Yeah.
When you sit at the motherfucking draft table, you hope to draft an Erik Karlsson.
Yep.
That's what you hope. Yet that's what you've sent for two lottery tickets.
Magic beans, as I like to call them.
Yeah, flipped the cow out, and all we've got is a clutch of magic beans.
Yeah. As we bring it back closer to Ottawa's side of this, as we've sort of talked about the San Jose, I'm getting that. Pierre Dorion was on the radio. That interview online was roundly panned as it was conducted by a guy you and I both respect a ton in Ian Mendez and Sean Simpson. I don't really have a problem with Sean Simpson either, but he just finished interviewing.
Yep. 5-hour interview for the assistant GM job here.
With the team.
Which I think really actually give him an out on this.
I think if I'm the radio station, optically, knowing what fans are going through, how upset they are, I don't even want to open this door that there might be someone sitting there who's going to take it easy on him in an interview, right?
Yeah. See, to me, I have very...
Optically, I thought it was a pretty bad look.
I have very little problem with it. You already saw Dorion sit up there and lie and skirt the issues in his press conference. He came on and, well, he did clear up a bit of things about, yeah, we're going to trade him when the rebuild began, right? He sort of fucked that up in the press conference. Mendez asked him, followed up on a couple of things, and I didn't hear the whole thing, but Mendez said, yeah, you know what, guys? Because people right away, the reaction was instantaneous, and he was reading the responses on air. He said, way to go, guys. Nice puff piece, right? Yep. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. Could you have taken it any easier on him?
Right.
Yeah, the reality is, you ask the questions, he asked the follow-ups. Mendez is never going to fucking rip anybody.
Right.
Right. He's not the guy to do that. And that's what he said. He goes, you want to ask the questions? He goes, I'm not Barbara Walters. I'm not interviewing Arafat.
Right.
I want to ask my questions and I don't want to do it in a jerk way. He goes, if there's questions you want me to ask that you feel like I didn't ask, send those in. I'll follow up with them.
Right.
To me, this is Ottawa fans. I get it. And everybody, 99.9% of people are panning this fucking trade.
Yep.
They're outraged.
Yep.
There is the pie in the sky people who are saying, yeah, we just needed to get rid of them. Well, we didn't need to get rid of them for this.
Right.
Can you name, somebody said on the radio today, can you remember the last captain for the Ottawa Senators who ended his career as an Ottawa Senator?
Right.
Well, the only one is Laurie Boschman, who was captain in the first season, and it was his last season.
Right.
They haven't had one. Karlsson gone, Spezza gone, Alfredson gone, Yashin gone. Who treats their captains worse than this shoddy fucking organization?
Going back to the interview, as they started asking, the thing that stood out more than anything else to me, and I'm sure you've heard it, when they asked Dorion, you know, what do you like about this guy? What did you like about that guy? And they said, what do you like about Josh Norris? And his words, without exaggeration, were, well, the thing is, Brady Tkachuk's best friend. Can we start there? And I just went, fuck. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, like, that's not the radio station's fault.
No. I'm now moving us along to this organization has done. And if all things are equal, you're looking at two prospects and you know, you could take it or leave it in terms of one or the other. Sure. Take your new guy's best friend if all things are equal. But you don't lead with that. The reason we wanted him was because he's good friends with your draft pick. Well, you fucking clown.
Yeah. Well, and for any of you who don't know, Pierre Dorion, he looks like a young Mr. Magoo kind of. His hair is never it's he's balding on top, but there's always like hair that's sticking straight up. It's and he just, you know, he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. And clearly,
yeah, he may not.
It's absolute to me this trade. And I don't care if you're getting downward pressure, like you got to take a dump or you're pregnant. Whatever the deal is there, right? This is absolute incompetence, in my opinion, right?
Sure looks like it.
Whatever your deal is, you've got to the point where you're saying, yeah, we're trading Erik Karlsson. That's happening. And you go, but you know what? We're going to flip him out. We're going to start rebuilding. We're going to bring in some nice picks and some blue chippers. We did not get a blue chipper.
No.
At all. And it's just, to me, and then you stand up in your presser and you say, this was the best move to start our reboot, our rebuild. And you're like, are you serious? This is the best you could have got? I'm not sure. I don't like what Montreal got for Max Pacioretty.
I was just going to say, to me, that is a better deal. Just because it's a first, like you got Suzuki, right?
Yeah.
Who is a first. Now, well, again, he was kind of their third best prospect.
Josh Norris is a first as well.
Right. So.
And how interesting to hear Doug Wilson say.
Just to stay on that for a second, is wingers are well regarded as the easiest thing to replace, right? You can't find top end centers, you can't find top end defensemen. If we're even having the conversation that you might like the Montreal return better for what they got for a good winger, but not a generational defenseman, that shows that you fucking blown it. I think the more damning one is New Jersey got Adam Larson, a guy not even close to Taylor fucking Hall.
Yeah.
Now they pounced on someone else's incompetence to get that done.
Yeah.
But if you're dealing Adam Larson for Taylor Hall, man, I'm going to love what I get for Erik Karlsson. Oh, what the fuck happened? Pierre LeBrun reported that at the deadline, both San Jose and Vegas had deals on the table that included Bobby Ryan. Either one of those deals been made at the deadline, Bobby Ryan was included, and they were comparable packages. So what's changed from other than the playoff run?
We've kept Bobby Ryan to help get to the floor.
Yeah. Well, that might be it, man.
Because that's absolutely where it's at right now.
I've been blown away by that you already sort of half alluded to it. I want to stretch it out here a little bit in terms of Pierre Dorion admitted in his press conference that they decided in February they were doing a rebuild and that Erik Karlsson would be the piece that would bring them the most back. They then had all these town hall meetings in the spring and said right to all their fans, we will make an offer to Erik Karlsson to keep him here on July 1st. Well, which is it? Because if you already decided you're dealing him,
right,
you've lied to your fucking fans, dragged them along, kicking and screaming, right? Dragged them through a summer of hell. If you had just said, yeah, no, he's probably not. I know that shatters your dealing, you know, your position. You can't keep lying to your fucking fans.
Well, and really, it comes down to they were pressing him. Mendez and Simmer were also saying to him, "Now, did he request a trade?"
Right.
And he skirted it, and he skirted it, and then finally said, "Yeah, no."
No, he didn't. Yeah.
He never requested a trade.
Yeah. Someone held him to that answer that.
That's right. And what it came down to was, they just targeted him.
You're the guy.
As the one who could bring back the greatest return.
Yeah.
The most magic beans, if you want to fucking follow Matt's analogy. And you botched it. You botched it. You didn't even get the good magic beans.
Right. These ones are all bruised and squished. And
I think somebody's already sucked on these. Like, really, that's the way it is. And you go, you, my friend, have already got fucked by Doug Wilson once this summer, yet you went back there. Ottawa flipped Danny Heatley there for Milan Mikolic and Jonathan Chichu. Right? You're like, and then San Jose, like people are saying to me, are you going to go to the game on December 1st when San Jose rolls back into town?
Right.
And I'm like, you mean when they give us a great big donkey punch? Like, forget it. Why do I want
to? My guy.
Well, this is it. Well, because Healy rolled back into town and people are like, I'm going to go throw my jersey on the ice. And you're like, yeah. And San Jose is going to pound us, which they did.
Right.
And you're like, are you kidding me? I don't want to see that game. I'm going to get as far away as I can.
If I could just, for anyone in Ottawa listening to this, because that's a great point. It hasn't been the same as Tavares on the island. It hasn't been the same as LeBron in Cleveland. But you're seeing people, we should all burn our tickets. Our home opener tickets, we should burn those. We should get together and have a...
Well, if I can just say, that's the ones who bought them.
Yeah, well, and there aren't many. If you have tickets and you're that pissed at that you are looking at doing something stupid with them, there's an organization called Kids Up Front Ottawa. I know it's not nearly as fun as making your Twitter video or whatever, but make some fake tickets. No one will know the difference. Kids Up Front Ottawa donates these to kids who don't get to go to shit. Kids Up Front... Ottawa.com, if you want to check that out, rather than do something stupid for your 4 seconds of fame on Twitter. I know that's not what we're talking about, but it's a really cool organization. This is kind of the next place I wanted to take you was, what is your protest? Are you buying any tickets this year? Are you watching games on TV this year? Do you still give a shit about this team? Are you able to separate the bungling management and ownership from...
Gaston and Alphonse act that is Melnick and Dorian. You're like, are you kidding me? You bumbling fucks.
There's people jumping up and down screaming, we should all support the 67s. Let's all go. And in theory, I got no problem with that. It's good organization. It's good hockey. It's not going to happen.
Love junior hockey. Though.
There will be zero spike in attendance for the 67s based on this year, in my opinion.
But it used to be king here.
Sure.
It's a great question. I love hockey. That's my sport.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I think there's some good pieces.
Yeah.
Not great pieces. I don't think people keep talking about, and we've mentioned a bunch. I don't think there's anything in here right at this moment that makes me go, yep, 2 or 3 years down the road, we'll be good to go.
Right.
Right. I'm not feeling that. Right. I do love the local team.
Yeah.
I hate the management and I hate the ownership.
Right.
So,
I'm not rushing home from anything to watch the game, but I'll throw it on if I'm hanging around the house. Is that fine?
I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing some of the young guys, but as with everybody else in this market, so disillusioned.
Yeah.
With the people who are guiding the ship, and I mean beyond Boucher, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Guy on his second chance on life here, what he's going to do, right? He's going to go young, and he's saying we're going to play up-tempo, forechecking hockey.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, but to me, I find it really hard to believe or that I could in any way put hard-earned cash.
Yeah.
To support this ownership, I really just it sickens me, to be honest with you. And it is just sports, but we're on a fucking sports show.
Yep.
So it just comes down to, yeah, that guy's got to go. That guy's got to go. Really, I would put more money than towards tickets. I'd put more money towards a billboard.
About a GoFundMe to buy the team from him.
Yeah. Well, see, and this is it, right?
Green Bay Packers style, the community owned.
Again, I work with a pile of women, right? And so being one of the token males on the floor, right? They come to me for hot sport takes.
Sure.
And so people are saying to me, well, why don't you sell the team? And why don't you blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yeah, it's complicated, people. Right? Yeah, he bought it for $130 million.
Yeah.
And somebody's offering him $500 or $485. Yeah, but they don't. And she's like, well, why don't you take that? And I'm like, well, because the league is trying to sell a fucking franchise to Seattle of new players, like a new team for $650.
So he wants his cut of that.
They're not going to say, hey, look at that guy. He got an existing franchise with an arena for $485.
Right.
Bettman is never going to let that happen, right? So these are the things that people who just want to
sure
jump and talk stupid.
Well, and you know, the thing that I keep coming back to, and I just said there, is Melnick knows his cut of that is coming. If they get 650, he gets 1/31st of that. Yeah. Actually, I think he gets 1/30th. I think they've told Vegas, here, you're not getting a cut of the new team.
Oh, suck it, Vegas.
He also, if they can get this arena built, knows the franchise goes up in value again. I'm not selling it now. I've ridden it to the fucking ground, and that's probably my fault, but I know there's a check coming from Seattle, and I know if this building gets bought, people are coming back. Everyone in any city, the novelty of a new building for the first year, people are going to want to go. And even if the attendance hasn't come completely back where I want it to, I got this brand spanking new downtown arena that makes my 485 maybe worth six. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll get that. He's not selling it right now. He'd be an idiot too. He's an idiot anyway, yeah, but I don't think he's this stupid.
I was just going to say, what? Yeah. I think, what did we just talk about back there?
Yeah.
It's funny because the headspace in this crowd, in this city, was so negative.
Yep.
So negative, so negative. Then he releases that video that we did.
We torched.
And
265, if you want to check that out, TCS 265.
And it's funny because then the next day is the annual Senators Golf Tournament. And they got all the players rolling through, and there's all kinds of interviews and sound bites. And they had a great interview with Matt Duchene, who, for anybody who doesn't know, he's very eloquent, you know.
His Halliburton boy.
Yeah, his responses are thought out. There's not cliched, and he's not over-promising anything.
Yeah.
Right? But you listen to him, and you go, fucking guy's got his shit together, right? And then you listen to Bobby Ryan. I always like Bobby Ryan.
Right.
And you listen to Craig Anderson. And so people are like, sports fans are always going to want to believe, yep. right? It's not going to take too much to shine up
yep.
a little bit of that grubby nickel, right? And you're sort of going, all right.
We had that talk 2 weeks ago that maybe Ottawa might be not a contender, but a yep. little higher in the standings than thought at first. And then.
So people on local talk, they're like, hey, you know what? I'm listening to this. And just as I said, you know, if you got to flip Carlson out, yeah, right. We've all sort of become,
yeah,
you know.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to happen. But I like that Matt Duchene, and you got Dzingel, and you got a bunch of young guys coming. And
yeah,
the rookie tournament just happened, and it's a rookie tournament. It doesn't matter, right? But in his one game, Brady Tkachuk scores two goals, right? They shut out Montreal 4-0. He had a very sweet goal, the second goal.
Yeah.
And after it, he skates right to the corner. Gets right in Miro Heiskanen's face. Not Heiskanen. Kotkaniemi. Yeah, the guy who was drafted right before him in the draft.
Yeah.
Right, and he's just giving it to him. And you're like, fuck yeah, that's what we want to see, right? You're like, yeah, you could have had me, bitches. Right? And you go, yeah. So the city is sort of going, we got a little juice, little juice. And then.
Oh, I got no juice.
I got fuck all. It's the lemon has been squeezed out.
Yeah. What a week, man. Between the video and this deal, could it possibly have gone worse?
Like it could not have. And again, it's 9 years ago almost to the day that they flipped Danny Heatley.
Right.
And again, it's one
to
of those
San Jose.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Heatley showed up day one for testing and they flipped him. Exact same thing.
Right.
And you're like, why? Like, why is it that we can't get shit? For our...
Well, and there is something to this, eh? When you look even in Montreal, too, whatever, it's like across the NBA, there's kind of news throughout the summer and things kind of happen as it happens. And in hockey, in the NHL, like everyone goes away for 7 weeks and comes back into their office. Oh, fuck, I forgot I got to trade my captain. Like, let's get this done now. Like, this has been a busy week, not just this. There was Sagan, we're going to talk about him on the next show. There was Max Pacioretty, but it's like, oh, fuck. Let's get this done now.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
And to me, it's, yeah, they did this to themselves.
Yep.
This is the same shitty deal they could have got in July or in June or whenever it was, right? Yet, you felt like you had to pull the trigger on it now?
Right. Well, and
we don't want to deal with
twice,
the distraction.
Right. Go back to the Hoffman thing, trading him out to, I saw a great tweet that said, it's a good thing the Sharks were able to fleece Ottawa earlier and dump some cap space so they wouldn't have had room to fleece them this time, did Carlson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Right?
Like, yeah. And I don't
honestly, man.
And it's one of those things where you go,
this Sharks strategy of trading all their depth players to Ottawa for their stars is working really well for them. Well, we should, more teams should be trying
that. And so again, yesterday I'm on HockeyDB and I'm Googling and I'm on Cap Friendly and I'm looking around and I'm looking at our decor.
Right. Yeah. I looked at that too.
You got CC at 4.25 and money's not anything.
No.
But then you have six other guys listed, 4.25 million CC for one more year.
Right.
The next six guys range between 650 and 900,000. Oh, no, sorry. Borowiecki is in there at 1.2. That's it.
Big spender.
You have seven D-men all costing you less than $11 million.
Most of that being on entry level. Well, not a lot of that being on entry level between Shabbat and Willanen.
There's that gut punch again. You're just like.
But this is a bad. I don't know. Off the top of my, maybe you could find me one. There's been bad teams around before. A defense this bad, like this unrecognizable, where you would just look at and go, I don't know who half the fuck these guys are. I know who Mark Borowiecki is, right? Like, well, that can't be the second most recognizable name on your defense.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, it's really going to come down to, and really, I'm not going to make, you know, a rocket of paper mache here.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. Right? It's not good enough.
No.
What you do have is, to me, I love Thomas Chabot.
Sure.
Right?
Most people do, yeah.
Sophomore guy, though, not ready to take the full mantle on. What is going to happen with Cody Ceci, right? This is the deal.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you know what? Matt pans him regularly, as does half of this city.
Yep.
So Matt's not alone in that, right? And I keep hoping for more. I'm hoping that he gets played in this up-tempo system. That's more the system he played in junior, which translated into him being a first-round pick.
Right.
He's not a shutdown defenseman.
No.
He is an up-tempo, offensive-style defenseman. People watch for Christian Willanen like that guy. Beyond that, though, yeah, you got Boro and Weidman. That's a nice 5-6.
Right.
Right? Is one of those guys going to have to play up so Dylan DeMello can play in there? It's scary. It's scary is all I'm saying is you're now asking for Ben Harper, England, or Yaros. I wish it was Yossi.
Yeah, for sure.
To step up and take some minutes without playing a full NHL season. It's
right.
Yeah, it's tricky.
With some... Beasts in the division offensively, right? Like with what Boston's going to roll in with, what Tampa's going to roll in with,
and even Florida. Don't sleep on the Panthers.
Right. In terms of containing, you know, weak forward groups can be overcome a little bit with a good system. You're fucked without a good defense, especially with some of the offenses being as deep as they are in this division. So, man, it could get really, really bad.
It could get real in a hurry.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Been quite a week. In some ways, not for you, but it's good that it's done. Like, this has been a thing for so long that's been hanging over the franchise. It's been hanging over the fan base. Yeah, they're livid. Yeah, they're pissed. Yeah, they hate the ownership and the management. All of that is legit. But at least you're not waiting for that axe to fall anymore, right? Like, it's...
Yeah,
I know waiting for the axe to fall involved getting to still watch Erik Karlsson as a senator.
That just means Buddy rolls in and he plays some games for us here and we get to watch.
Right.
And it's – but now, yeah, it's gone and you're like, you kidding me? You kidding me right now? It's fucking brutal.
I don't think they're kidding you.
No, they're not kidding me. No. And that's what I'm saying is we're all left now with – it's just one more slap in the face as fans. And you're like, this is, as I said, absolute ineptness, right? In terms of running a franchise.
Truly.
Like it's not. And if I'm a Leaf fan, I'm loving this.
Yeah. There's been a lot of that online in terms of for everyone who thinks 67 is funny and it was 4-1 is funny. You don't get to sit back now and go, hey, you, take some pity on our fan bases. Yeah, fuck you, right? Like, and I'm not taking a ton of joy in it, but I don't feel pity either.
I would. But you know what?
And you did. For how long? Because the Leafs did this in 9-10.
No.
The Leafs entered that season knowing they didn't have a first-round pick. That was part of the Kessel thing. That was the Hall Sagan year. And we lost 17 of our first 20. Right then, as that's happening, you're going, now, we didn't have all the rest of the bullshit that Sens fans have had to go through.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a lot of fun. Right?
No, sorry. And you misunderstood. Yeah, no, I've absolutely reveled in the stupidity that happened in Toronto.
Right.
And could count on it yearly.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, damn you, Brendan Shanahan. But yeah, so to me, I get it. But I think most people in this city, to give anybody who's not in this city an idea, yeah, we don't give a shit.
Right.
We don't give a shit what Leaf fans are saying because we're heaping scorn on this team.
Oh, I think you'd be surprised. I know you don't like the Twitter crowd as a good measurement, and that's a fair point. But there are a ton of, and you've said to me on this show before, don't you just feel like you're kicking a dead dog? Yeah, and it's fun, man. Like,
yeah. But right now, yeah, there's nothing defensible for me.
Right.
So to me, it's whatever.
Yeah.
There's not like I can stand behind. Yeah, but and then there's the. No, there's nothing, right? So to me, I'm like,
Josh Norris and Brady Tkachuk are great friends, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And as you said, just you've tweaked it again. Tell me all the stuff you like about Josh Norris, and then at the end go and
added bonus.
They're best friends.
Yeah, great right. Chemistry. They get along great. They're going to be awesome in the room. But that comes at the end.
Yes, not the beginning. And the one interesting thing is San Jose was they took Josh Norris at 17. They wanted to take him later, but they were afraid that Ottawa was going to draft him before then. Okay. So he's been on the Ottawa radar for a while.
Right.
But man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. Like I'd like to say it can't get any fucking worse. It can't. But then then you know what? You go, oh, well, can they say, yeah, Stone and Duchesne, we want you guys to lead this rebuild. We're going to give you.
Matt Duchesne left, demanded to get out of Colorado because he did not want to be part of a rebuild. And that was a rebuild that was much further along. They already had Rantanen. They already had MacKinnon.
And that was a team that, as bad as Ottawa was last year, Colorado was worse. So, to me,
Colorado made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but he left at the beginning of the season. I'm saying the team from the year before.
Right.
When he's saying, I
want
out.
Well, he may be ready for a repeat of that.
Yeah, okay. And again, I'm not here to dispute that.
Sure.
I'm just saying, listening to him and saying, at the end of the year in the exit meetings, and we've talked about this, we've referenced this, right, he was very forthright in his – yes, they shared the direction with me, and I'm excited about this. And to me, clearly at that time, they've told him, this is the direction we're going.
Right.
We want you to be one of those guys.
Right.
So I'm only hanging my hat saying, yeah, we're going to give Stone and Duchesne the money they need, filling around with young guys, and we're going to move forward. That's what I'm hoping.
Right.
Oh, and then wait, I'm hoping that Cirque du Soleil with Alfredson comes in, and then Carlson resigns in the off-summer.
That'd be all right.
Yes. Okay, but then you go, yeah, the flip side is you fucking trade out Duchesne and you trade out Stone before the trade deadline.
Try and get some sort of concrete first round pick.
And then you're like, oh my God, it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
So as angry as I've been, Kyle in Boston, I'm just sort of winding down now and you're like, I'm a pinch defeated, right? And just in terms
it's a beaten
of
man.
Just like if you've ever got, you know, hit with a 2x4, maybe smoked with an empty beer bottle,
sure.
And Kyle in Boston,
Sam Adams upside down.
I know you know what I'm talking about. Although you're in Boston, it's likely a Sam Adams light. The Americans love their light beer. I'm not sure what the deal is there. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, and that's where I'm at. Right. I woke up and it's hard to put a hat on due to the lumps on my head.
Well, we will be back on Sunday night.
See, there's no...
It's all right, man.
Just
get through this. Monday morning, Sunday night. Well, we'll be back Sunday night, late Sunday night, as we always are for your Monday morning show. We just wanted
still
to get this one out.
Still not sure they're the worst team in the division, though.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be interesting. As that week rolls on, I think maybe next week, end of next week, we'll start rolling out the divisional previews as we usually do. Just wanted to get this one out as quick as possible while the city still burns here in Ottawa.
Fuck Melnick.
We will be back on Sunday. As I said, you can give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, the archives at TallCanAudio.com, and we'll catch you later.
Maybe.
You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.